resident Vatican expert Joan Lewis is away from Rome at the moment and therefore unable to look back on the week's events in the Vatican. However, she takes us on a virtual tour of Vatican City State as we listen to a conversation she had some time ago with Sister Janet Ferns, currently press officer for the Pontifical Mission Societies, but until just a few months ago, a colleague of ours here at Vatican Radio's English feature program. Sister Janet began by asking Joan to tell us about Vatican City State.
So many people ask about it. Even when they come to Rome, they'll visit St. Peter's Basilica naturally. They'll visit the Vatican Museum. Some will go to the Scavi, the underground excavations, the pre-Constantine necropolis. But not that many actually visit this tiny city-state. And so many people do ask about it when they're in Rome, and is it really its own city, and does it have its own boundaries and zip code? Yes. It is a city-state. It does have its own zip code, 00120. It has its own boundaries in the sense of there are physical walls surrounding Vatican City, which is the smallest city-state in the world, and it measures 108.7 acres, which I think is about 44 hectares.
Which is smaller than many farms.
And I understand it is the typical size of an average golf course. So any golfers out there listening, I have been told, correct me obviously if we're wrong, that that's about the size of an average golf course, or perhaps what you said too about a farm.
Yes, because someone the other day I was talking to said that they had been under the impression that St. Peter's was the Vatican, and then they found out the Vatican Museums was the Vatican. And it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
Oh, it really, really is. And I think we should say, by the way, it was founded in 1929 in a concordat, the Lateran Pacts between Italy and the Holy See, the Kingdom of Italy and the Holy See, on February 11th, 1929, established what we all today know as Vatican City State. And I did mention a minute ago the physical walls. We'll get into also what's within those walls, but the physical walls do not actually comprise everything that is the Vatican. We work, Vatican Radio, the Vatican Press Office, we are not within the walls of Vatican City, but we are part of Vatican City in the sense we comprise extraterritoriality than of Vatican City.
And we've got a plaque on the outside to say that it's extraterritorial.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I had not seen that.
Yes, there's one on the House of Priests, there is one on Vatican Radio, and there's certainly one on the Beda College, which is where I live.
And there must
right
be,
over
oh, okay.
St. Paul's.
Oh, sure, exactly. I did not know that particular part of it, but there are many buildings. If they house Vatican offices, chances are that they certainly are extraterritorial. But what does this city-state have in the first place? It has everything that any little city or any little state or big city would have. It does have wonderful, of course, centuries-old buildings. Buildings ranging from, you know, like the 4th to yesterday.
Unlike anything else in the world.
Oh, yes, to yesterday, like meaning the new parking lots and parking additions that have been, you know, when they didn't have cars, who had to worry about parking.
And you know, when you think as well, some of the corridors within the Vatican, Raphael was just the house painter.
I saw, may I digress a moment? I was in Secretary of State years ago for an appointment with my then editor at the paper I worked for, the Catholic paper. And as we were waiting for this archbishop to come along, I got up and went over to a very small window. I just wanted to know where I was in this building. And I was looking out on a mini courtyard, and I turned to go back to the couch that I was seated on. I said, oh, Fran, to my editor, come here. There was a room that had to be like, 4 by 4 square feet, entirely frescoed from top to bottom. And I just thought it was the most magnificent thing. So fast forward, 45 minutes later, end of the interview, I asked this archbishop, the first time I spoke in Italian, that day it had been all in English. I said, oh, Your Excellency, what is this wonderful room? Well, he grins from ear to ear. He takes my arm, walks me to the room, and he says, you've just asked the best question of the day. And it was a room painted by Raphael. It was a papal bathroom, which explains the little pipe coming out of the wall. And he said, if you've noticed a lot of uneven floors in the Vatican, or sometimes the steps are not uneven, years ago, water and supplies was brought up to the upper levels of the apostolic palaces by horses. So on horseback, or they'd load them down with water, and it could be water for a papal bathtub or supplies for the kitchen. But that's why some of the floors and some of the areas were uneven, and I was told
that's amazing.
Isn't that a wonderful story?
Well, can you imagine having your bathroom painted by Raphael?
Raphael. And it was the year before the Archbishop was testing me. He said it was the year before Martin Luther put his 95 Theses on the cathedral at Wurttemberg, which I want to say was, 1518, I think?
Something like 1518.
Give or take a few months. And anyway, so the Apostolic Palace, we could talk about that for four shows, just the rooms, the wonderful hidden little pieces of history. Oh, and hidden rooms, too. You walk along a wall and you think, now is that a crack in the wall or in the cement or the marble? And you find out it's a door and it goes up some. I've been in some of them. Some by chance and others because I was led to go to this office or that office. It's really amazing. I think there would be a way to get from room A to room B without being seen, to be honest with you. But back to Vatican City per se, we're talking about what it has, these centuries-old buildings, which we've mentioned, chapels and churches. It has a seminary, a mosaic factory, a fire department, the library, the secret archives, Vatican museums, a second century necropolis. That's the Scavi we mentioned a minute ago. It has a pharmacy and gas stations and a printing office and a medical center and stores where you can buy food.
And its own post office and stamps.
And clothing. Post office and stamps. They make their own, print their own stamps. It's absolutely wonderful. And Vatican also has its own coins. Right now they have the euro. Obviously, like the rest of Europe, and most people don't spend, if they even get them in their hands, they don't spend them. The moment they are coined, the euros are almost always sold out. So to find one as change in your hand at the Vatican Post Office would be a real, true find. Now, you know, in reviewing this list of what the city has, what any city has, what Vatican City has, what does the one thing it seems to be missing, that's a school? Someone asked me once, was there a school in the Vatican? And I said, not in the traditional sense we'd think of our neighborhood school or our Catholic school. But there is a school for the young Italians who live at the Pius X seminary. Some of them end up coming, they might end up being seminarians, but these are young boys, 10, 11, maybe 12 years old, only from Italy, who serve as altar servers. And so they live together, eat together, do have classes together. So in that sense, there is a school, but it's a very specific type of school. It's not where your neighborhood kids would just walk in and there's elementary and whatever. So that's the only school that I am aware of in Vatican City. But it has about 700 occupants, inhabitants, I mean. About 400 have Vatican citizenship. The cardinals who live and work in Rome, even retired cardinals, have automatic Vatican citizenship. And their passports, I've had a diplomatic passport. They're very lovely. And the papal passport, by the way, it is white, as you can imagine, embossed in the gold, and it's number one. Which is exactly what you would expect the papal passport to be. But Vatican City is under, for its artistic patrimony, is under the protection of the Hague Convention, of May 1954. So this is for the care of all of its cultural goods. And the state is recognized in international conventions beyond the Hague Convention as a moral, artistic, and cultural patrimony worthy of being respected and protected. And it's not so much Vatican City, but really the Holy See that does have relations with states. and diplomatic relations, ties with states, with international organizations, the United Nations, the Atomic Energy Commission.
Of course, there's so many ambassadors to the Holy See, aren't there?
We have relations with 172 countries and then four relations of a special nature, like with the Palestinians, with the Russian Federation, and so forth. Now, some, just a relatively few of the ambassadors accredited to the Holy See are also accredited perhaps to another country. You will find very often an ambassador from a certain country might be accredited to the Holy See, represent his country to the Holy See and maybe to Switzerland. And they will live very often just in one of those places with a temporary, like in Switzerland, with a temporary office here. But many are full-time. Full-time ambassadors from obviously your larger countries. And what very few people know, sometimes they ask, why is the Holy See represented in international organizations? And if you look at the history of Holy See, of Vatican diplomacy, and actually those two words are not interchangeable, I shouldn't have said that, but most people say Vatican and they mean the church, they mean the Holy See. If you look at the history of diplomacy, we have, if not the oldest, and I think it is, diplomatic service in the entire world, dating back to about the 400s.
And the most prestigious training school for the diplomats.
The Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy. Mm. Absolutely. So it's amazing in its breadth and its scope, as little as it is. Vatican City has all the services of a bigger city, just on the smaller scale, because it's small, we're small. But when you look at what is part of Vatican City in the sense of the departments that govern, because Vatican City is the seat, the see, the center of the Universal Church, so you're looking at the Holy See then, and the offices that represent and help and organize and run the Universal Church. Mm. It's amazing. A billion Catholics, a billion plus, and we're represented by this very small entity, which Benedict the 16th underlined in a talk very shortly after his election to the people at the Secretariat of State. He said, "There are few of you doing a massive amount of work, and for that I'm very grateful."
Which was great. Thank you very much, Joan.
Thanks to Joan Lewis and to Sister Janet Ferns for that special on Vatican City State.